Still got the door up here. But we changed the name a little bit, didn't we? What was this door about last week for everybody who was here? And what did you have to get into the heaven?
Two keys.
What were the two keys?
Faith and works.
Faith and works. Unless you had both keys, you couldn't open the doors. And these two keys that I have here represent the keys of who?
Faith and works.
Faith and works.
Peter.
Because Peter was given what? Keys to the kingdom. And Peter was told by Christ that whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you set free on earth will be set free on heaven. So these keys not only represent faith and works, but they reflect Peter. Peter. It's kind of a strange story, and I guess you're wondering why I chose this piece of scripture this morning about Peter having this vision. It's only part one of the story. You see, there is this great vision that Peter has. He's up on the roof of a house, and he sees this great sheet come down, or great tablecloth, or great cloth, or whatever it is, and all the animals are in there, and he's told to kill and eat. And Peter goes, "Oh, no, Lord, I'm not going to kill and eat. Those things are unclean." God says to him three times, "Kill and eat." Peter says, "No way." I'm paraphrasing here, and I'm using modern language, so give me a little leeway. "No way. I haven't put any of that stuff in my mouth, and I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to stay holy." And God says to him, "How dare you? How dare you say anything that I have made is unclean?" I can almost see God in heaven going, "Who do you think you are?" Here's the other part of that story, as Paul Harvey would say. Now you'll hear the rest of the story. Over in another part of town, there was a Gentile. What's a Gentile? A non-Jew, right? A Roman. And this Roman guy, he was doing his best, you know. He was praying, and he was giving his alms to the poor. What's alms? Money to the poor. And he gave to the synagogue, and he did all the things he wanted to do. But guess what? He was not part of the in crowd. He was not part of the what was going on. He was not a Christian. An angel came to him. And I'm trying to remember his name, and I'm having a senior moment. I can't
Cornelius.
Remember his name. What is it?
Cornelius.
Cornelius. Thank you, honey. Cornelius. This angel comes to Cornelius and says, "Cornelius, it has been noted in heaven what has been you been doing. You've been giving alms to the poor, and you've been praying, and God is going to answer you. Send for Simon, the one they call Peter. He's over in the next town over there. Have him come over." So Cornelius does. And he sends his two servants over to where Peter's at. And Peter's, at the same time, is having this vision. He's on the roof. You know, on those days, you go on the roof because it was cooler there in those times. They didn't have air conditioning, you know, cooler on the roof. So Peter's having this vision. Just as he's finishing the vision, he comes down and there's a on the door. And it's the two servants of Cornelius. And they say to Peter, "Our master has sent us to find you. And he pleads for you to come to his house." Well, there's some rules here. What's the rule? if you're a Jew and you go to the house of a Gentile, you become unclean. If you enter that house, you become ritually unclean. It's like you got the plague. Okay? Nobody else will have anything to do with you for a while. You have to go through this ritual of bath and this ritual of prayer to try to get yourself unclean. So if you were a Jewish person, a Hebrew person, you've tried to avoid that. You didn't want to have to go through that. Women had to do that all the time, by the way. We were always unclean. But the guys, especially the apostle now, he's been having this vision about all this food and stuff, and he's unclean, but he'll be unclean. But he decides, okay, I'm going to go. And he follows the two servants to Cornelius' house. And Cornelius hears that Peter is coming, so he calls all his family together. Men, women, children, everybody comes into Cornelius' house. Peter stops at the door and goes, "Yes, can I help you?" "Yes, Peter, come on in." "Well, you know, if I come in, I'll be made unclean." "Well, you know, sometimes pastors go to places they don't like to go." Been to a few of those. Walk in. He walks into Cornelius' house, and Cornelius tells him, I had this angel that come to me and say, send for you. He says, you have something to tell me. So Peter, he starts telling these people about Jesus Christ. He starts laying it out for them about how Jesus was the Son of God, how Jesus came to the earth, how he cared for the sick, how he cared for the children, how he did everything for them, and then he died and went back to the kingdom of heaven to save everybody from their sins. He told them the good news. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit that was present at Pentecost, that came upon the disciples at Pentecost, came upon the people in Cornelius' house. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was like all of a sudden, it was just Pentecost all over again. And you can imagine what must have been going through Peter's mind as he sees this. He's going, whoa. Because the elders back in Jerusalem at this same time, they're having a debate. James, the brother of Jesus, and all the elders are going, well, we need to have this debate. If a person wants to become a Christian, he's got to be a Jew first. And that means he must be circumcised. So anybody who wants to be a follower of Jesus, we got to circumcise them, make them a Jew, then we can baptize them, and they can become a Christian. Got to get the order right. Right? Because, Jesus only came for the Jews. And Peter's in the middle of this, because Peter is the head honcho. He's the disciple. Or what's he got? The keys to the kingdom. And he knows his word, and also the word of the apostle Paul, who started all this mess, because Paul's out preaching to the Gentiles, and he's converting all these Gentiles to Christianity, and they're not coming to be Jews first. And Paul's saying, you don't need to be a Jew because you don't have to be bound by the law. Christ come to set us free. If you don't, he's bringing all these people in, these radical ones. These weird ones who don't dress like we do, who don't look like we do, who don't pray like we do, who eat things like pork and crabs. And all this stuff. And ew. And Peter's in this debate. He's got to make his decision. And he just saw this beautiful example of God saying, what I make is clean no matter what it is. He looks in and all of a sudden these people who have not been circumcised, not been baptized either, guess what? They have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes, I could have had a V8. No. He goes, if God's already baptized him with the Holy Spirit, who am I to deny him baptism? Who am I to say you got to be a Jew to be a Christian if God has already witnessed to them? So he takes the whole family outside and he baptizes the, what did we call that baptism? What is it? Sacrament. He initiates the sacrament of baptism for the entire family. Later on, he gets back to Jerusalem where they're having this debate. And they're talking. And they're trying to make their decision. And Peter says, well, guess what, folks? I thought the same way as you did. But I went to Cornelius' house. And guess what I found out? I found out the Gentiles in Cornelius' house were filled by the Holy Spirit and already were blessed. So your argument doesn't hold water. Thank God for that, or else we'd all be wearing yarmulkes. Okay? Okay, why am I telling you this? Notice we changed the name. What did it say up there before?
Heaven.
Now what's it say? What's the difference? Heaven's the ultimate place, right? But aren't we a station on the way? Don't you sometimes come by here? Suppose, then, the question is for us, who do we have that's welcome or not when they knock at our door? No, you have tattoos. You're not welcome here, all over your arms. No, you're not quite the same color as we are. No, you don't have the same type of relationship that I do. Many years ago. If I get a little emotional about this, I apologize up front. Many years ago, as I was entering into ministry, I worked at a place for the severely mentally disabled. I mean, kids that were couldn't move, that had hydrocephalitis, that their heads were this big. And nobody would talk to them about Jesus Christ. But me, probably broke the rules. But it's okay. I once knew a young girl that was born with Down syndrome in another church. She was like 16 years old. They wouldn't let her receive the sacrament of communion because she had Down syndrome and she wouldn't understand. No one has the right to keep anybody from Jesus Christ. Over the years, this has been my guide. This piece of scripture has been my guide. You know, we all tend to judge. And we all want to set standards. And it's a normal human being thing to judge. We judge everything. I like this, I don't like that. I like this food, I don't like that food. I like you, I don't like you. We make those kind of judgments. But when we start judging and deciding on people that can't be welcomed into the family of Christ, then we have committed a terrible sin. What's the Lord say? He says, before you judge somebody, take out the speck in their eye, take out the log that's in your own. When you become perfect, then you can decide. If you ain't perfect, do not judge others. And I've used this as my key for everyone. You know, when Peter looked at the family of Cornelius, he could have looked at him and said, no, you're not welcome because you're a Gentile. Or no, you're not welcome because you're a woman. Or no, you're not welcome because you're a child. But instead of what he saw was the Holy Spirit in their lives. I think that's the judgment. That's if there's a way in which we look at things, I think that ought to be our key. Is the Holy Spirit working in and through you? That's the witness of that Holy Spirit is what it's about. Can you say without reservation, Jesus Christ is Lord? And you can't say that if the Spirit is not within you. Can't say it. Not true. Is Jesus Lord? And it doesn't make any difference if you're physically challenged, as Dale and Kathy will tell you, or you're mentally challenged, or you're black or white or green or pink or yellow, if you're gay or straight. If Jesus Christ is working in you and through you, then yours is the kingdom of heaven. What do we say? No matter where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. Isn't that what we say? Question is that what we mean? Or do we mean we'll open the door for you if you meet our expectations? If you're like us, you can come in. But if you're not, I know some are sitting back and saying, okay, she told the children today that they can come to communion. And that's not the tradition in our church. I'll talk with that through the diaconate and others. And the tradition is that when you became confirmed, you receive communion. Well, I think when you become confirmed, you ought to be able to help celebrate that communion and help serve it to your brothers and sisters. But I'm not going to keep anybody, I don't care if they're an infant, from receiving that sacrament. Because that's not my sacrament, that's God's sacrament. Okay? I'm just a caretaker. I'm just a vessel by which God works. I hope people will know, and we need to talk about it more, especially with our young people and our children. But if you're a parent and you want your child to receive the sacrament, you come and bring them in. I'll give them the sacrament. If you want them just to be blessed, to say that too, we'll just do a blessing. But I'm not going to say no. If you enter this church and you're black or you're white or you're green or you're yellow or male or female or gay or straight, you're welcome. In my eyes, I don't know how you feel about it. You're welcome. Especially if God's working in you. Just a little note. For all you who have taken the membership class, I think a lot of you, the Journey of Faith class, are surprised when we talk about sacrament and what it really is. Because a whole lot of us out in the congregation don't know. We have assumptions, but we don't know where it comes from and how it got to be. Well, this time in the book of Acts was a changing moment in the life of the church. Had this not happened to Peter, who held the keys, if Paul had not seen the light and taken it to the Gentiles, I'm afraid Christianity would have died out and been labeled as a little Jewish sect that didn't last any longer than the temple did, and it was gone. But because Peter was open to God's vision and Paul was led by the Holy Spirit, the church is alive today. It wasn't easy for Peter. It went against all his principles, I'm sure it did. Remember, he didn't want to kill anything and eat. It went against all he thought he stood for. But God continues to reveal God's self to us if we're open to hear it. I love you all. And you took a great step when you invited me to be your pastor as the... Well, you had a pastor here who was a woman for a little while, but for the first called pastor of this congregation, you took a big step. And I thank you. And I try to be faithful in all that I do with you and for you. Who's going to knock next at our door? Will we say, come on in? The choice is ours. May the Lord bless you. In the name of the living Christ. Amen.